And so today we have with us Wiju of Interface. Wiju is going to introduce himself. He's going to tell us about what he does and what Interface is about and all of that cool stuff. And now the floor is yours, Wiju. So to give us a quick intro, you know, about yourself, about what you're working on and what your team is building. And, you know, primarily, like I ask most of the people we bring on here, is the why. What is the why? So we'd like to hear from you. Okay, Wiju, then, you know, the floor is yours. If you can just hit us with an intro and let's take it from there.
Yeah, for sure. So with Interface, we're trying to solve readability, accessibility, and discoverability problem with that currently exists in Web3. And yeah, so this is kind of what we're trying to do. Just make it readable and accessible for everyone to make sense of what is happening on chain and off chain that is associated with your data. And yeah, so Interface itself is like a mobile app that is kind of having like interfacing with all the Web3, and you can follow different wallets, see what they're doing, like what things they do in human readable format. So if they're voting, if they're making swaps, if they're purchasing NFTs, if they're going to certain events, if they're having like signing off certain things from Gnosis Safe and so on. So everything that is currently like in space we're trying to cover, like publishing on Mira and so on, and we're doing one thing at a time. So yeah, you get live notifications when people you follow do something. You can discover various other people, and there's a lot more to build and a lot more features that will come in the future. But that's what the app looks today. It's like you can follow it and you can see what people are doing in the readable format.
Yeah, awesome. So like how we talked about yesterday, it's basically, and you know, obviously you said it was more than this. Primarily just a quick primer. It usually feels to me, and I think a lot of us, you know, a lot of the people joining us would agree that one of the many problems it solves or it addresses is having a really good intuitive graphical user interface for everything that happens on chain. And you know, it goes beyond just being a social media, but that is a really, really impressive, or really, it's one way to look at it. And I think that's how it helps me conceptualize the idea of Interface, and I usually just like to share that so people catch on to that, and then, you know, you broaden the understanding that we can have, or you broaden what Interface can be more of. And so, you know, obviously the next question that we're curious about, you know, for all of us on Twitter that have no idea possibly what Interface is when you thought of Interface and, you know, obviously it was to make Web3 readable, what particular problems did you have in mind that were like, this is the problem we want to solve while we're building this? Obviously, there's skill and there's improvements to be made. What was that one thing you had in mind that this is what we're going to solve?
So, yeah, the problem. So, yeah, it's personal pain that we experience within this space. So there's different aspects of it and different parts. So one of them is that the information is scattered all over the web, identities, activities, and so on. And you always have to go to different platforms and kind of try to like find the information you're looking for, if that's a new proposal, if that's a trade, if that's like a new liquidity pair, or if that's if you want to add liquidity pair, a new token being issued, a mint that is currently happening, and so on, so on, so on, so on. There's also sort of different things that it's like impossible to make sense, like find them. You always have to keep track of all the various platforms and actively reach out to those to obtain this information. So this is like one of the problems, is that information is scattered and it's just scattered. You have to actively look out for it. And whereas in Interface, we hypothesized and realized that within an Interface that information comes to you. And then based on that, you can then make your decisions. You can act accordingly depending what information it is. If it's a new mirror publication, then you just know that the publisher you're reading has published it, so you can read it. So it's super nice and smooth. Mm-hmm. And if it's a mint, you can see somebody of your network is minting something that is interest. Before that, you would only see that if the person has kind of showed it within Twitter or somewhere else, or if you're like following on getting. Oh, actually, for the NFT space, there is context for that, but so it covers that. But for other things like governances, there's lots of different governance forms, on-chain votes, off-chain votes like Snapshot that kind of live out like in scattered. Then, yeah, so it's basically here is the information comes to you and you make sense of it from by after it comes to you instead of it going, you going out. So you know, it's a lot less effort. And the second part is making sense of it. So a lot of new people have joined the space, and for them to make sense of Etherscan or other things like more generalized things like swaps, etc., might be not so trivial. So this is like the readability aspect of making it readable. So this is a little bit less of personal pain, but then it's also actually, yeah, it's just what I saw, oversaw, like when onboarding various people into the space, because that happens a lot when you kind of onboard people and explain them various primitives and how to like different cultures and places, communities, and so on. And for them, it might be a little bit hard to make sense what this happened, like what does this transaction on Etherscan actually mean. And this is the readability part. And the third part is, yeah, apart from getting information to you and getting them to in readable format, it's another being able to go and surf the web 3 natively. So there's very few tools that, for example, personally, for NFTs, I follow very, sometimes I go to OpenSea and just see what the activity is happening there. Mm-hmm. For Etherscan, I just sometimes open random blocks and see what were the transactions there. Or maybe often when there is high gas price, I go and see when there's high price. I expect there's something like a hyped or something very cool happening on chain. So I go into the block, explore it, and kind of research what actually happened there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then another part, third part is being able to navigate this all of these data and make sense. Like, if this is person, like you can, if it has an identity on NS, you can kind of make sense that this is this person as an avatar or etc. Mm-hmm. And yeah, being able to surf. So this is three things that we kind of the pains that we experience are trying to solve. I think very big in space right now.
Yeah, they are. They are very big problems. But one of the things that comes to mind that I think might be different with interface, or if you could talk about that, is these platforms you talked about, like OpenSea, Block Explorer, right? You don't need to follow any one person to see all of the interactions. With interface, you need to follow this user by their ENS to see anything that's been done. So to an extent, you're not exposed to every single thing happening on chain. You're exposed to what has been niched out and carved out for you. How do you think that does this sort of contradict itself as to what you're trying to solve? Because if it's based off of a following count, then it is I only see what I can see, as opposed to if I go on Etherscan, I can see everything. It doesn't matter who I'm following or not. So what are your thoughts on that, or what are the approach?
Yeah, so that is definitely true to the current state of the applications, because it's fairly limited, because we don't index full chain. Like we don't have the same technical and infrastructure capabilities and resources to undergo. Mm-hmm. So, but this is like actively what we're building and iterating to make it enable to basically for you to travel across all the web. So you'll be able to see all sort of things, suggestions, something like a lot of information will be that you would haven't thought of, and like those kind of. Like for example, I would say for the upcoming features that we're really looking for is token graphs. So once we kind of have internally indexed all the token balances and collection balances, etc., so that we can know what balances you have and match that against other people within this community or token holders, we can then suggest to various people various activities that you haven't yet discovered, or for you to follow, or actually see what else they're doing. So like we're tackling one thing at a time, and hopefully, for example, right now with the recent Gnosis Save feature we did, it's like you can go to a person, like any person, and see if they're part of owners of any multi-sig Gnosis saves, and then you can just click on the save, and then you'll land on the view of the Gnosis save, and you'll be able to see cool. So yeah, going back to regarding you mentioned that. There is fairly contradicting mechanic, right? That's what I was talking about, being able to only see what people you follow. So, yeah, I was saying this is partially, like, not partially, but 100% technical, like, limitations of, like, our current phase and stage of development. But within current phase, we can have a few things that how you can find new people and so on, new things. So one way is like just seeing what people are following. So you can just go to the profiles and see who this person is following, and maybe try to, and you can always like see all these people and then land on their, let's say, wallet and see all the tokens, all the NFTs, and see all activities and just decide for yourself if that it's an interest of you, and then make decision to follow and so on. Another one we introduced like the other day is like a Gnosis Safe support, so that for the DAOs and others who are participating in it, there's the ability to see all the owners of a specific DAO and multi-safe, and then you can also visit and see what else they're doing. So this is like the two that already kind of placed in there, social and partially indexing of saves, etc., and seeing thing order. And another big thing that we're kind of like currently working hard towards is basically indexing the token balance of collections and NFTs and tokens and so on, and thus enabling the token graphs, so that you'll be able to discover different people who have similar token positions and they're part of your community and so on, and then you'll be able to follow and see what else they're doing. And there will be introducing a lot more like protocol-based kind of discoverability. So if like different things that you kind of interacted with, we can then based on that introduce different suggestions and so on. So there is a lot more to do and a lot more to build. And one thing that I was trying to kind of help people discover and navigate. And once we have like to get to the point when we index the entire chain and index multiple chains and having ability to show and basically enable person to travel like in infinite amount of time, just keep on traveling and surfing the web natively without any like constraints, and then maybe with something like various chats, etc., they'll be able to communicate to each other and then bootstrap their own DAOs within like just within interface and so on. So there will be a lot of different cool things happening, but one thing at a time, one feature at a time.
Yeah, for sure. One thing at a time. It's really cool because, I guess what I'm curious is how do you intend to make it sane, right? Because I mean, if you're feeding people everything or most things that's happening on chain, technically should be everything. If we're making Web3 readable, in the true sense of the word, how do you intend on keeping it sane, right? What are your thought process to that? Because if I'm seeing feed from Etherscan, NFT transactions, new governance proposals that are going out, tokens that are being swapped, liquidity pools that liquidity providers are providing liquidity to. So like all of those things can be overwhelming, right? Again, this is one of the things we talked about yesterday about, Web2 services using like an algorithmic method to choose what you are fed. So how do you intend, will it still be chronologically ordered? Because if it's chronologically ordered, then obviously people could miss stuff, but at least it's happening in real time. Would there be like tabs to separate NFTs from tokens, from DeFi, from governance proposals, and all of that cool stuff? Essentially, is how do you intend to not make it cluttered and overwhelming? Seeing how fast the blockchain is with the amount of interactions going on, the transactions, the things that are happening are a lot. So many things are happening at the same time in a split second. And so I'm curious, what are the mechanism or what are the thought process behind making that less cluttered?
Yeah, that's a great question. And personally, like, I follow around 500 wallets already, partially for the technical reasons, so that I can see more of picture and kind of identify what's missing and so on. So that is already introduces for me a lot of noise, and it's really like overwhelming. And so we're tackling this from, and we can also imagine like once we go to and support L2s, which provide much lower fees, it means that amount of activities that will be happening there is like will be basically multiplied by the same time, how much cheaper it is to transact. So imagine like 1 minute, it's Well, it costs $1 to transfer. If they cost 1 cent, it means there's 100 more activity, 100%, 100 times more activity will be happening on L2s like Optimus, Arbitrum, and then ZK Sync when they get fully. ZK is not really other, basically ZK rollups.
ZK
and validums. Yeah. So there will be a lot more activities. So there is a huge problem of noise that is needed to be solved. So like we also approach this iteratively. So like next week, I think we will drop ability to kind of fine tune notifications. So that it's like only you can meet people, for example, based on that. So it's like different people you might want to follow and see what they're doing, but you don't want to get notified every time they do something. And this is like a, just different categories of capabilities of choosing fine-tuning notifications so that it doesn't become overwhelming. Another way we'll be introducing categories on top of transactions so that they'll be able to like kind of both control notifications and feeds themselves based off different categories. So if that's the they will try to like come up with the most suitable and categorize like the worst and best suitable way, but one of them will be like noise. So for example, approvals and others, we could just put them in things that noise, and you'll be just be able to maybe mute entire this category so that you don't get shown that in the feed or get notified when this happens. So building like introducing different primitives like feed of everything that is happening introduces problems, and then we're kind of solving them at the time. And but then also, as I mentioned and you mentioned, sorry, regarding the chronological feed, that is right now the first implementation, and yeah, it's quite naturally it will evolve with much more sophisticated algorithms of suggestions, and the user will be able to switch between various kind of providers of feeds, and both for existing like the things that already happened, but also for things like that might be of interest for you. So if there's like a different means happening, different tokens being issued, different auctions happening, so those will be kind of recommended to you to, or people have like doing something, things that are might be of interest or participates in guard. This is like the second part. So yeah, we kind of acknowledge that this is a huge problem of noise, and we'll try to solve it one thing. As I said, like everything we do is like one thing at a time. We keep looking forward into like 2, 3, 4, 5 years how it we could evolve, but also we try to clear have a clear focus on today and what we can do today with our team, resources, time, and provide as much value to our community users and ourselves every like at every iteration, at every phase. So being like a realist, so on different aspects, so hopefully
it won't be overwhelming, right? But bottom line is the team will work hard to not make it overwhelming. Correct.
Exactly.
Awesome. Cool. I mean, you know, it's a good way of thinking about that problem, because as you scale upwards and as you build all of these really cool features, if we miss that out, then, you know, it becomes too much. And then it's like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not about this blockchain thing. I mean, it's supposed to be readable, intuitive, less cluttered. But yes, it'll be exciting to see all of this at scale and see interface pull this off. That's pretty dope. So, you know, one of the things I'm curious as an interface user, from the demo you showed yesterday, is there a feature being worked on where users could suggest certain... So I have a couple people I follow, you have a couple people you follow, right? Obviously, I'll assume like my feed is going to be tailored first by who I follow, and then there'll be like sections where I can choose to see everything happening on chain. But because the people I follow are, you know, some might be different from the people you follow, and I might be missing some very important transaction, interaction, like governance, a proposal. Is there like a feature, or maybe this is just me giving you alpha right now, where two mutual followers can recommend something? Hey, my guy, check this out. Sort of like how I can send a tweet to you, right? I'm like, yo, this is happening. You could join this, you could pay attention to this. And is there something like that happening, or is there something like that could be built? Or better yet, I think we can build that into interface as it progresses. Or have you or the team thought about that in previous times?
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah. So can you just repeat in your question, who is the actor that is doing the suggestion?
So I'm asking, and then also suggesting at the same time, right? Is there a feature where I can share a particular transaction that I saw on chain that is on my interface feed to a friend, right? Because there's a possibility that they may not have seen it. And I'm like, yo, mm-hmm. check this out.
Okay, yeah, got it. So we're basically, we'll be having various things to be able to share profiles. So it's like the profile itself is just an address. So it's like when you, it's like, so it has a ENS. So it's like a mix of Etherscan plus preview.ens.domains plus a few other platforms like Zapier, etc. So it's just essentially, it'll be like a limited version of the interface app, but in web, so that it's like a fully composable with anyone from outside, so who's not inside the application. So just being able to see a readable transaction on the website, web page, and you'll be just be able to kind of share it easily. Just drop a link in chat or anywhere else on Twitter, and we'll get all the metadata, OGs. So it'll be super friendly for any social networks and so on. Mm-hmm. It'll just kind of preview the essence of what actually happened in this transaction, or if that's a user or if that's a safe. It'll be like kind of duplicating the views that we have inside that. But then you'll be able to, if you like, we could duplicate if you installed it, you have the app, you'll be able to open it directly from within the app if you have it, or if not, then you'll be able to kind of download, there will be a suggestion to download it and participate. But this is more in the future once we get to the point when the application is open fully. So right now we're in private beta, so it doesn't make any sense to focus on such features because it will basically lead to nowhere, but it's like because there won't be ability to just install the app from the App Store directly or Google Play mm-hmm. or any other store. So yeah, that will definitely come. And we're also working and looking into various other social interaction from within an app. So this is like to share from outside. And from within an app, we will be adding like reactions and comments and P2P messaging, etc.
Okay, that's dope. So interface is essentially, you know, going to be a form of Twitter for Web3. What are your thoughts on that?
Sorry, can you repeat that again? Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, I mean, with all of this going on, you know, at some point, it's going to be a bit difficult to differentiate like Twitter from interface, right? We do know Twitter is like Web2 primarily, yeah, with a bit of Web3 to the side. But like, do you think interface is going to bridge that gap and like make it more intuitive to think about interface whenever you think about consuming content about Web3? Because right now I get 90% of my information, updates, things that are happening in the Web3 space, however not on chain they are, from Twitter, right? And so do you think that interface is out to you know, be the Twitter for Web3?
Oh yes. So not sure how it's going to end up, as like whether it's going to be Twitter or Telegram or WeChat or something else. So I think there are basically two parts of the, because yeah, their nature of Web3 is that a lot of things that is basically people and users are interfacing with protocols, and they govern themselves, they have custody over data, have custody over their belongings, tokens, etc. So, and things like interface are like just the kind of intermediary to aggregate and show and make sense of it all and make it much more smoother, so that there is like a ability to onboard millions and millions of users who are not technical and so on. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to get bundled up, those applications, in the end, because whether it's going to be like WeChat or something else, or maybe completely different, because it's just permissionless nature of building on top of Web3 technologies enables to kind of like bootstrap different things and build on top without like any permissions, as it's called. So for example, in our application, your identity is completely bootstrapped off top of ENS. So we don't actually have anything like accounts or anything. We're using wallet, and you just sign the message, and then we can verify that's you. Mm-hmm. And then for your identity, it's like your name, domain name on ENS, and avatar is also set on ENS. So we just
Mm-hmm.
build on top of that. We don't ask any permission from ENS. We don't need to. And then we can increase the adoption in ENS themselves. So, and also we don't have to develop and build all these technologies. And then this identity travels you across all different apps. But this will be true for everything, for all the things that you do, reputation, social graphs, and messaging. Messages should be private, and you'll be able to transact a message, send messages to each other without anyone ever knowing what you're saying, and they'll be like encrypted peer-to-peer, and there'll be a bunch of different applications that will be doing those, hopefully. And then other things wouldn't be, there'll be tons of different things that are like on built on protocol and like let's say higher level, and then their applications layer will be composing and integrating various of them. And it's, I'm not sure how they're going to get bundled up, as I said. Maybe they'll be specific to different niches, but I think there will be definitely this need for some generalized ones like that kind of cover most of the daily activities of people and kind of make life easier, because having certain pieces in one place has a natural benefit to them. So yeah, it's hard to tell on the user face of the application when it first how it's going to evolve, but definitely super interested also on the other part is that how the behind of it, like the operational part that is like labeling and decoding and building all the UI components, going to evolve, because that has to be also be done in a transparent, open manner, so that it's open for contribution and others. So this is like in an interface itself is going to be like both the application and also the application that is like operates the system that bootstraps it all. So
Curious
how it's going to evolve.
Yeah, no, for real. I'm completely like curious to see how all of this comes together, because it seems like, and I do know, you know, the team is very niche and you have a singular goal on the problem you want to solve. But, you know, thinking about it in terms of multiple, like social, quote unquote, traditional social media outlets that we have mentioned, Telegram, we mentioned WeChat, and most infamously like Twitter, right? So it's I'm curious, are there going to be points where, and again, I understand like innovation and like just, you know, spreading the wings and trying to figure out what sticks, but do you think we could spread those wings too far and like interface possibly loses its bearing, or there is this centralized goal at the end that regardless it's like your true north, right? It's like we could move east a little bit, northeast, and all of that, and try a couple of things out. And if those don't work, we know where we started from and we know where we're going. So does that exist?
Yeah, for sure. So that's definitely a huge consideration to always keep track, so that you kind of, what's the phrase, like keep in mind of like North Pole, I don't know, North Star, so you don't lose the bearing. Yeah, definitely. So hopefully this will also be kind of mitigated by having close tight with the community and building, because we initially started with public pitch, so we put everything out there straight away, so all the ideas, everything, so all alpha was out there, so we kind of deliberately went and made it public, so that it's not like our close friends will be able to participate, let's say, in the govern, in the, because the initial public pitch was also attached with a crowdfund, so that it's it wouldn't be just limited to like for people who wanted to invest in our day, but it will be for anyone who believed in this idea. So this is our approach, and hopefully by going and staying transparent and like building, like communicating as we go, building it all together with people who are using and participating and kind of steering the protocol and the application and development into various directions, we could potentially avoid getting carried away, maybe missing certain features or getting focused on something that is maybe over focused on some pieces of things that are maybe not very useful and so on. So maybe, yeah, just that would probably help us. I don't know. That answers the question. Yeah, hopefully that's in personal. We'll try to get ourselves to
avoid that. Yeah, awesome. So it's basically the community keeping you accountable, right? So it's like you're working with the community to keep you accountable to what you started. And if like you're building something, that the community is like, hey, yo, this isn't like what we signed up for. So I think we need to get back to where we were.
Yeah, definitely. From perspective of the signaling and steering, this is more like a, yeah, definitely true for like just having conversations with people suggesting, other users suggesting like where what missing, etc. And then being transparent about everything, because like we share all ideas, all their roadmaps and how we perceive. And then also what you said is very applicable to the later stage once we go into like protocol level and we have like tokens, etc. So that it's like by putting everything in public or our clients, so that if we start doing some weird stuff and it kind of contradicts the values of our protocol that we set out, or philosophy of what we're behind, how we're building, then the community will have like a, let's say, tooling to, let's say, fork away and have their own like interface, let's say, app that's interacting with all the same data. Because eventually most of the data will be coming also from different sources. It's just we're kind of building them internally a lot because they're not there yet. So yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that essentially if it seems like, and I think this is sort of like what Tesla does, right? I think they say all of the car patents are like publicly available for anyone to build on top of. So you're saying like if interface seems to be moving and doing things that are out of pocket, the community can simply say, you know what, screw you. We're just going to build what we think is needed and work with what you've already built so far and scale with that, right?
Exactly.
All right, cool. So all of that being said, you know, what are your future plans? What are the team's future plans for like interface? What do you have in mind and where do you see interface? We'll keep it short this time in like 6 months, right? So what's like 6 months goal that you want to achieve, milestones and all of that cool stuff?
So yeah, so 1 hour, 6 months is we would like to basically introduce first. So right now it's only read-only. So our goal is to introduce some features that are writing to the chain, so updating the state of the chain, and basically migrate to the newer set of infrastructure that covers like a full-fledged indexing, and then it's like we could then build a lot of cool features that basically enables much more powerful discoverabilities, so token-based discoverabilities and others, so that it's like much more like the depth of the surfing app capabilities will be like increased tenfold. So this is our like the goal. So it's by the end of this year is to go public, have a fully fledged indexing with token balances capabilities and transfers and so on. Because there is also cool features like, for example, if you visit collection, you would don't want to see the transaction that are happening directly with this basically right now in our current implementation. When you visit the collection view and you see all activity, this is the activity that is basically directly interacting with this contract. But it's mostly like it's like the only happens like during the mint, when you mint on this collection, or when you are giving approval. This is when you interact with the contract of collection. Most other interaction, they actually happen with OpenSea, all the NFT marketplaces where you do the swap, so maybe NFTX world when you're depositing and so on. So it makes sense for readability sense for you to see activity for a given collection, not for actually interacting with the contract, but rather all the underlying transfers of this token. So you will be able to see everyone who's swapping and all sort of activities, like people depositing this NFT into NFTX world, fractionalizing it, selling it on any kind of NFT marketplace and so on. So this is one of the things also we're kind of looking towards. So, and what I mentioned, like the indexing, transferring balances would enable us to cover this a lot.
All right, cool. Cool. Those are really really cool things that the team is building, and I'm looking forward to that. So what has been one of the hardest problems you had to solve? As you know, one of the members of the team, and like the team as a whole, what has been, you looked at this problem and you're like, yeah, there's no way we're doing that, but like you went in regardless and were able to pull it off.
Yeah, so there's few aspects that are really hard. So designing Web3 is really decisions to de make certain kind of design decisions on how to kind of let user interface with the Web3 technologies. And this is kind of hard. So to prioritizing what's most important with scarce resources is pretty not that straightforward because you really want to build a lot of things and you have to keep real focus. So, and there's a lot of things, so you have to prioritize various things that you can achieve in short term, mid term, and but also don't neglect things that you can. So if you just focus on small features one at a time, you will not move like on the, you won't be able to make a big steps, right? So you have to kind of balance the things that will add additional value like fairly soon, but won't take away too much resources from getting the like a bigger, much bigger milestone. So those kind of things. And then, yeah, and yeah, I think those kind of the two of the main, I would say, that are hard, not hard, but it's just stimulating and challenging.
Yeah, of course. Just to take a quick break, to welcome everyone that has joined us, and you know, if you guys have any questions, you can just raise your hand, we'll bring you up, and you can ask Luigi, one of the members of Interface, of building really cool stuff in as far as like making Web3 readable. I think it is impressive what they're doing. So if you have any questions at any point in time, please raise your hand and you can join us on stage and ask away. You know, a few more questions and we'll be rounding up real quick. So again, and I asked this yesterday, right? You did say, is there a web version coming or is it strictly mobile and that's it? Or it was mobile first and then web second?
Yeah, for sure. Nowhere, like in near future, it's not planned. But we'll see how it goes. But as I said, there will be limited features that will be shipping in web. But our Android and iOS are our priorities because that's where we believe a lot of natural activity happened, and it's much easier. So it's like, yeah, it's just it's been neglected by the space for I think for a bit now, and we have a lot to catch up to make it smooth.
All right, cool. I mean, you know, no problems with web, with mobile first. We don't have, actually, there aren't that many mobile first Web3 products out there. So it's really cool that you chose that, and like the user interface of Interface, haha, pun intended. The mobile user interface of Interface is actually really cool, clean and minimalistic, and I love it. And I love it. So would you, what do you think is one thing that, you are most excited about that I might have missed and I didn't ask, we didn't talk about, but you'd like to just give us some alpha real quick before we round up.
What was the question on alpha?
What is one thing you are most excited about, especially about Interface, but maybe even beyond that, right? Maybe I might have missed asking that as we were interacting. So what is
one thing? Yeah, so I think, on a higher level, hope to be like, I don't know, believe, but rather, yeah, I'm sure it's believe, but maybe a will to believe that we're kind of solving something that this would potentially help and sort of democratize access to information, because as I said, the public nature is everything is there in many aspects that is true for the public chains. And a lot of things are like hard to obtain. You need technical skills, you need certain other capabilities to big analytical capabilities and so on. And often this is like limited to those with maybe either like funds or data firms and maybe technical and rather more people who have been in space for longer and have much more knowledge of different primitives and so on. And by enabling, like providing a very intuitive interaction, we believe this is like a tooling for anyone to build their own information bubbles, discover content and so on, and be able to navigate the space and basically make sense of it all. And so that is like one of, I don't know, maybe this is like a fallacy we believe in, but we hope that it's true, that it's kind of helps and kind of levels the playing field within the information so that anyone could use a very straightforward set of tools like following and just browsing the interface to potentially find opportunities, friends, and communicate, etc.